Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with Tom Brady. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe agrees with me. Tom Brady has early onset social media addiction. In his latest column, Finn asked whether Brady is becoming a certified internet troll. I'm not sure Brady is a troll. I think a lot of us, like a lot of us, he's a dopamine junkie. And nothing exploits the human mind's desire for dopamine quite like social media apps on our smartphones and laptops. Dopamine is a chemical produced by our brain that gets released when we exercise, have sex, eat, and when we have pleasing social interactions. Exercise, sex, and eating. Dopamine is better than bacon. We all want it. Every social media app is built on giving us bacon bits, aka dopamine. Tom Brady has acquired the same taste for bacon bits as Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., LeBron James, and countless other wannabe influencers. That's why Brady was comfortable trolling Patriots fans for the benefit of Hulu. He enjoyed the pleasing social media interaction, the likes, the retweets, the gossip about his future. Before the advent of smartphones and social media, the typical human had a circle of friends, family, and associates of 100 to 200 people. We had a limited amount of pleasing social interactions. Social media gives us unlimited access to the dopamine high of pleasing social interaction. We all have the ability to go viral and ride the dopamine roller coaster. Celebrities like Tom Brady can ride the Beast, the longest wooden roller coaster in the world, and my personal favorite ride at Kings Island in Mason, Ohio. On Tuesday, Brady posted an Instagram story that said he won't be wearing a blazer to next year's Super Bowl, meaning he plans to play in next year's big game. All of this seems like harmless fun, and it mostly is. The problem is it's inconsistent with Bill Belichick's Patriot way. It's harmless, but it is attention whoring. It's cut from the same cloth as all of Antonio Brown's social media posts. It's, hey, look at me. It's coming from an insecure place. The insecurity of being 42, past your prime, and playing for a coach who is always looking for a new trophy quarterback. You can dismiss it and say I'm crazy for comparing Brady's social media addiction to AB's. I'm not crazy. It's like my boy Big Scoob told me years ago on the song Salute. I seen a school teacher become a creature so fast. Right now, Brady is the guy who claims he occasionally smokes a little IG and might take a bump of Twitter when he's in Vegas just so he can stay up late and not miss anything. Brady's playing with fire. He's off-brand for Belichick and the Patriots. Brady's social media activity makes me think there's a real chance he plays outside of New England this coming season. Maybe there's truth to the rumors that he could replace Jimmy G in San Francisco. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzada. Marcellus, start us off. Is Tom Brady breaking from the Patriot way with his social media act?
Oh, man, one of the life lessons I learned is pretty obvious. We all learned it. Don't be stuck in your ways. Let's add to that even the Patriot way. Tom Brady doesn't have to be stuck with the persona of being a Patriot and doing things the Patriot way. And if you really dive into the details of his career, in 2013, we saw this shift with the opening of TB12 right there next door to Gillette Stadium, Patriot facilities. Guess who bought into that? Bob Kraft. And what could be more Patriot way than the owner buying into you now, monetizing your brand? And that's what he's been doing on a mission. Facebook shows, everything, since 2013. And let's just see how that's affected his performance since 2013. Oh my God. Won 3 Super Bowls, played in the 4th, 6 conference championship game appearances. So it hasn't affected his product on the field. And let's talk about how it's building his brand off the field and into his legacy. I love the fact that Tom Brady's just like, look, for so many years, I gave, I took haircuts, reduced salaries. Sometimes you didn't even appropriate those resources to exactly what I wanted. I wanted Wes Welker, took a haircut. Wes Welker left town, didn't get the money back. Tom Brady is feeling like the Patriots are ungrateful. And if you want to talk about a player's perspective of the Patriot way, it's not as pleasant as a fan's perspective of the Patriot way. So respect to Tom Brady for doing it his way.
Oh, he for sure is breaking the Patriot way. It's no question. And I compare it to a husband and a wife that's in a marriage. There's certain things she don't want you to do. Excuse me.
Yeah, tell on yourself.
There's certain things you don't want her to do. But in the process of that divorce, you start to realize, oh, I'm doing everything I wanted to do now. We're in a process of separating. Mm. And he has that personality where he's wanted to do these things. And because, Bill, we all know when you go into a meeting, the coach tells you, this is what I don't want you guys doing. If we can stick to this. And when your best player does it, everybody else falls in line. Yeah. Gronk, he fell in line, but it was certain things. He did the interview. Man, I really want to talk to you guys so bad about this, but I can't.
Yeah.
We're grown men here. So it's a divorce that's in the process of going through it. And now he's just doing all the things that his spouse didn't want him to do now that he wanted to do when they were together.
It's interesting that in the wit log you used the drug, the dopamine drug. Well, I remember this movie, American Gangster. Frank Lucas was his name. He sold that raw and uncut Blue Magic.
Magic!
He put that Blue Magic out there. And everybody was buying it because everybody wanted it. Well, I don't say dopamine with Tom Brady. I say dope you mean. This is the dope man, Tom Brady, and he's selling the Brady Magic, right? Why? Because he isn't with the New England Patriots. The New England Patriot way is branded as the New England Patriot way. We could say Tom Brady's a part of it. We could say he's not. Whatever we want to say. But Tom Brady is acting as who right now? Tom Brady. Mm. All right? He is putting out there what people want. The entertainment, the tidbits, the pieces of information to know what he's doing. Because when it's over, it's over. It's done and it's gone. So he's acting on his behalf. I don't think anyone should feel any type of way about him breaking a Patriot way because Tom Brady is just doing what Tom Brady is doing. He's showing his influence while he has to do it on his own.
It sounds like all three of y'all are in agreement he's out of New England.
I've been on record saying that. I think this is part of the evolution. One, he's inspired to leave New England because this whole Brady-Belichick combo that's going to go down in history, let me do what Belichick did to Bill Parcells and go somewhere else and prove that I am one of the NFL 100.
I agree.
Now, I didn't see Bill Parcells on that field when they were doing the NFL 100, but Bill Belichick was because he took that challenge. Why can't Tom Brady take the same challenge in evolution in 42. Terms of his character? Because he's 42.
42.
Yeah.
At the end of his career, Belichick was in the middle of
his career. Imagine if he's able to do it at 42. Success without Bill at 42. It elevates him even that much more.
And you got to believe if he's asking for the amount of money he's asking for, if he's making the demands that are being reported that he's making demands of, he still believes he can do that. So if he goes to a franchise that has
he believes it. Do you believe it?
I'm not going to bet against him. Again, as well as he did, he's the most maligned quarterback that was winning. I mean, at one point, he was really at the top of the NFL this year with the record. And I know everybody's going to say it's the team. It
not
was
me.
The defense.
I'm
That's
with you.
Fine.
I'm with you.
But he still is getting results. He's right there in the mix with anybody else. He's done better than, 90% of the other quarterbacks, maybe a little higher than that, than the other quarterbacks that are leading these teams.
You think he can still do it at 42?
In the right circumstances, yeah, I do. You give him a good offensive line, a guy outside that can threaten you and keep a safety over the top. Agreed. Yeah, under the right circumstances, he's still accurate. He still is going to understand coverage. He's going to throw the ball with anticipation. And so, yeah, under the right circumstances,
I'm going to take it a step further. As you said, not bet against him. Let me take it a step further and say I'm going to bet on him. Look at the offensive complexion they had out there with Julian Edelman being their biggest threat, their most consistent threat, despite him having the most drops in the NFL this year, losing a step, and he's 35. There's no threat on defense to play against that team. I'm still amazed they won 12 games with a supposedly hyped-up defense that wasn't as good as the numbers, and then Tom Brady without any weapons. You give Tom Brady complimentary weapons that will go out there and threaten. I don't even care if you produce. The threat of Tom Brady with a core of receivers that can threaten you is going to open up the running game, and the defense is going to shine. Absolutely. Not only bet against him, you'll be a fool. Bet for him, you'll be smart.
I'm not sure he can still do it at 42 or 43 years old. I think he's a little bit out over his skis. Mm. I think the Patriot way served him wonderfully and would continue to serve him wonderfully. This break from the Patriot way, this desire to move and go prove everybody wrong or I can do it someplace else, that may be a fool's mission. Mm. Well, Brady isn't the only quarterback whose future is up in the air. NBC Sports has actually laid out a scenario in which the 49ers can find a way to release Jimmy Garoppolo at minimal cost, which could let them make a play for none other than soon-to-be free agent Tom Brady. Would dumping Jimmy G for Tom Brady make sense for the 49ers?
No, that wouldn't make sense. Now, erase everything I said about Tom Brady in that vacuum, because now you got a comparison. Now I got to go at you, Tom Brady, a little bit. I think this will be a lateral move at best, but probably will hurt this team. Jimmy G is in his second year coming up off a torn ACL. They always say, outside of Adrian Peterson, with a torn ACL, year two, do you. Yeah. Year one ain't going to be that much fun because you are still going into an offseason without the confidence, without the six-gear approach. This year, Jimmy G is going to be approaching this offseason with vigor. On top of that, the chip on his shoulder for coming up just that short. How did that work out for Patrick Mahomes when he had that chip on his shoulder coming up just that short? How does it work for Kyle Shanahan now, who has a boulder on his shoulder because twice he's let leads go in the Super Bowl? I think this is a trajectory with Jimmy G that is going up, and I wouldn't interrupt it for anybody because this is a young stud in the making. Stick with him.
Nah, it doesn't make sense, and greatness is a process, man.
Mm-hmm.
Greatness is a process. The 49ers just went to the Super Bowl, and should they have won it? Probably. LeBron James went to the finals and got crushed.
Should have won.
They should have won. You're up 20-10.
Yeah, they should have won 20-10.
You're up 20-10. They outplayed the Chiefs. Yeah, I thought they were the better team. I thought the Chiefs were going to win, so I'm like, but they should have won the 49ers. But greatness is a process. LeBron James goes to the finals. He does not win. He comes back and wins it. The 49ers have a good young team. You don't want to mess up chemistry. You don't want to do that. There's some plays they would like to have back, but you don't switch out an important piece like a quarterback and hope it pans out. You know what you have right now is working.
Yep. If there was one person where I would say it's worth trying, it would be Tom Brady.
Hmm.
I'm just being honest here. And you're that close. You are seven. And I asked myself, man, you're 7 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. But you're 7 minutes away from the Super Bowl, and you're depending on what? Your defense. You're not depending on your offense. You're 7 minutes away from a Super Bowl, and you're depending on your defense. Now, I asked myself the question, do you disrupt the chemistry? Do you disrupt making it to the Super Bowl to make this type of move? If there's one person that you would put in the locker room that's going to command the respect and get the respect from those players in the locker room that the coaching staff would trust and believe in, and he knows what his role is and can play that role and come in there and have a running game and have an offensive line and have receivers and, a really good defense as well, it's Tom Brady. I think it would be, if it was possible to work, it's a simple, sensible decision to make.
I think y'all crazy. I think y'all in y'all's early 40s, and y'all looking out there as Tom Brady as y'all's role model. Man, he can still do it. I probably can still do it.
Oh, please.
Said no.
I can barely walk down the steps in the morning. I'm not looking at what I can still.
I'm bleeding into the previous discussion.
Yeah, right.
But look. I think it would make sense for the New England Patriots. If they could get Jimmy G in replacement for Tom Brady, I think Bill Belichick would love that. Hmm. To get a young guy who's still ascending, who obviously Belichick believed in, but for the San Francisco
49ers, wouldn't that be a story?
Yeah. That ship sailed, though.
Yeah, but Jimmy G wouldn't want it. Ain't no, who he gonna throw to?
Man, you go from San Fran to New England, you like, really?
Man, you are upsetting all of life. Let's just be real about that.
And look,
here's the thing. Respect doesn't score touchdowns. All this Tom Brady respect and move the chains. And that ain't gonna work. Jimmy G, 102 quarterback rate last year. Brady, 88. On the field, Jimmy G is better than
Tom Brady.
Right?
Get Tom Brady them weapons.
I give you that.
Get Tom Brady that play call with Kyle Shanahan.
He might get up to 100. And guess what? Jimmy G's still gonna be like, look, let me get another year with this in terms of health and building the rapport with my team. Jimmy G is on about, this rise, man. Don't
How about you give Jimmy G a pay cut and have that same picture taking place in San Fran right there? Jimmy G all up in his homeboy's face because he's the GOAT. How about that? Let's do that.
Let's not
give him pay cut, get the money.
Didn't the Super Bowl go exactly like we thought?
Tom.
The better team were the 49ers. And they looked like the better team, even though they lost. And the more lethal attack were the Chiefs. And that's what happened.
But they did not trust the quarterback.
The Chiefs are Deontay Wilder. They hit you with that right hand, it's over.
That's it.
We're not talking about the Chiefs. We're talking about Jimmy G. And Jimmy G dumping him in any fashion to get Tom Brady would be fooled. Tom Brady doesn't even fit Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Oh,
please. You can't do that. He doesn't fit. He can't hand the ball off?
Why? Why?
Wow.
You know, look as good in the helmet when he does it, though.
Hey,
you know,
when sorry, he Jimmy. It off, he
look good.
Look around you. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass and more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable and perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and J.R. Smith are obsessed with the brand. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/speak. That's buyraycon.com/speak for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/speak.
We're joined now by Hall of Famer and GOAT candidate Eric Dickerson.
NFL 10 or no?
Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys and Dak Prescott seem to be at an impasse over his new contract. Rumors are flying that Dallas will use the franchise tag on Dak, who says he's not going anywhere near the star until he has a new deal. But one legendary Cowboys quarterback, our guy Troy Aikman, says Dak has good reason to show up for the team's offseason program without a deal.
I think he first and foremost would want to be there because it would make him better. And then secondly, he would want to be there for his teammates. And I'm not sure that one takes priority over the other.
All right. Sauce, you agree with Aikman?
No, respect to Troy Aikman and the way he did it, but I learned a long time ago, it's nothing easier to do in life than count somebody else's money or spend it for them. And this approach is not going to get Dak Prescott paid because playing the good cop before got him donut. Dak Prescott has made, what, $4 million in his career as a franchise quarterback? That is sad and sorry. And we see him around his peers who at times are delinquent, inconsistent in terms of their behavior. Let's talk about not always playing up to the performance standards and get rewarded. So without consequence, there's permission. Dak is looking like, I think doing it the bad way is the good way around these parts. So Dak is just going to try a different approach. He wants to get to his money. He deserves to get to his money. And doing it the right way, the cowboy way, got him pennies. It's time for him to get paid.
I agree with Aikman. Oh. Dak hasn't shown that he's that guy that he... Last year, he was under contract. He wanted a new deal, but it wasn't like, oh, this is, you're going to be a free agent and we can franchise you. Dak wants to be there. I don't see him holding out. Does he deserve it? That's debatable. Has he earned a new contract? Yeah. If Jerry Jones felt he was worth the money that he was asking for, he would give it to him. Him not showing up is not going to force him to say, oh, he's not here. We're going to give him the deal.
Did it work
now
with Zeke? Zeke was 2 years removed from being as a free agent. Why'd he get paid?
Zeke was the bell cow. He was the offense.
How'd that work
this
year?
He was.
Did you hear any sounds from that bell cow?
He had a good year.
Not to the tune you need to pay him 2 years early year.
He had a good year, but he thought we had a team that can do it. They don't have that team. Him holding out is going to do what? Oh, I have to pay him now. You could have paid him last year. They don't believe in him.
Career
for what
high
he wants.
Touchdowns, career high passing yards.
I'm in Dak's corner.
Okay, there we
but
go.
But then when I can make an argument against him, I can say, man, a lot of those stats were hollow. We was losing so much. I probably give him 300 to 400 yards at the end of a game that we were losing. 2 to 3 touchdowns, 15 to 20 completions. So I can make that argument that can go both ways. He's not going – a quarterback, it's really hard for a quarterback to say, oh, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to hold out because I'm not getting my contract. It just doesn't look good to your teammates.
And when's the last time a quarterback held out?
Ooh. They never get to this place.
Thank you. Never. You
know, which gives them leverage.
They don't never hold.
Boom.
Look, Dak is a quarterback that he's always done the right thing. He does it. I mean, he shows up. You know, like you said last year, he supposed to have a deal. He showed up. When everybody is in chaos around him, he talks good about Zeke. You know, we need Zeke in camp. You know, he's this, he's that. Dak is making, let's just say, and I think he's making good money. I say he's making $10 million on commercials, all these commercials he does off the field. So let's just say he doesn't come in. I'm okay. Wearing that cowboy helmet has value to it. It really does. But the big value is he plays pro football. That he wants to get his money. But let's just say they do franchise tagging. With the new CBA, the franchise tag could be $34, $35 million. So now on the franchise tag, he's making $45 million, you know, on a 1 year deal. And not paying state taxes in Texas, that's a big thing. But still, the big outcome is that I think he deserves that money. He deserves to get paid. He
should. Is a holdout effective?
I don't think a holdout is effective for him. I mean, I don't think he'll hold out. I really don't think.
He said it.
He put it on
the pressure. I don't think
he'll hold out. I mean,
you don't trust his word?
No, I don't think he'll hold out. I think they'll come to something. I mean, I think the Cowboys messed up. They should have did this earlier. I think they messed up by not getting this deal done. I mean, they should have did this because now you can look at and say, oh, I got him for $28 million. Everybody else going to get 35 or 40. I'm cool. So I think it's on them. This is their blunder right now.
I think Troy Aikman's really smart, and he's extremely smart when it comes to the Cowboys. And I think he's trying to give Dak a little subtle message of, hey, man, it would be smart to come in here. Because if you don't, if you let Mike McCarthy start working with that team without you, that gives Mike McCarthy's mind a chance to drift. And it's not about the quarterbacks they have right now. It's like, man, should we draft somebody? It just gives the coach and the organization a chance to start pondering life without you. And I think if they start pondering life without Dak, and when they really go look at these numbers and how he got to 4,900 yards and how he got to 30 TDs, when they start really looking at that film and then start saying, does this smell like Jimmy Garoppolo? Does it smell like Jared Goff? Does it smell like some of these other guys that got paid, Kirk Cousins got paid, that really aren't franchise quarterbacks? Because that's what the NFL has really looked at, is like, whoa, Patrick Mahomes, force multiplier, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson makes your team. Does Dak, again, I go to Bucky, I love the truck and trailer. You gonna pay a trailer that much money? I just think it gives McCarthy them time to think about life without you, and that's a dangerous place for Dak to be.
I respect your point there. I would counter that by saying, in the examples you gave, does he smell like Jimmy G? Does he smell like
Jared Goff?
Two Super Bowl quarterbacks. What do you want him to smell like? He beat Russell Wilson in the playoffs last year. There are two games you always have to play in any situation you're in. You got to play the game that is actually on the surface, and you got to play the game within the game, which is underneath the surface, and how you are professional and get what you want out of that circumstance, which is you only have so many years to play. How much you gonna get paid? My rookie year, I'm on the field getting held, getting abused by Shannon Sharp. And one time he was like, damn, Rook, what's wrong with you? Because he saw me. Like, I'm wearing it. I'm like, Columbia to the NFL, this ain't working. And he said, man, this game about M&Ms. As he was coming back and forth from the huddle. M&Ms, money and memories. He said, just stack them up. Everything else doesn't matter. And I held on to that because a lot of times we get caught up in, oh, I'm in a situation with no state taxes. Oh, I got a star on my helmet. Oh, they could just give me whatever I want, whatever they want. I take this slop. Dak Prescott is playing better than quarterbacks that are making $30-plus million. Playing better, more accomplished, more wins. And he's just going to sit there and continue to take the good boy role while they continue to pay everyone else who are playing lesser than him and being malcontents. If I'm Dak and his representation, enough is enough.
You got to be careful with this. It's a new head coach. It's a new head coach. If he gets comfortable, say Dak doesn't show up with whomever else that he's working with in the offseason, it's already apprehension about paying him. If he likes a quarterback, we probably can win with him. I actually like this.
Scared money don't make no money.
And so, if they wanted to pay him, he would be paid already. And they're looking at it like, oh, he was a fourth-round pick for a reason. You know it and I know it. That's how you were drafted late for a reason. It's not that they undervalued you. It's just you just weren't that good. That will always be the narrative when you're drafted late. Not that they, we didn't scout him right. And so he has to be careful with that. With Mike McCarthy, new head coach, you want to get in there. You want to just get to know him as a person if the system is staying the same. And you don't want him to date somebody else.
Some more good boy behavior,
But who else they that got?
He's a quarterback. But you have to.
But it's hard to date somebody else. You kind of deep in the Dak right now. I mean, and Mike McCarthy, he needs to win. I mean, Dallas Cowboys ain't about, you know, we're going to give you an 8-8. They ain't looking for no 8-8. They looking for him to come in and go, you know, 11-5, 10, win that division, win that easy NFC East division. So having Dak is a plus. I mean, you know, I don't think they're going to bring another guy.
No, Cooper Rush got it. Hand it off to Cooper Rush. Go get this.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Tom Brady out there.
Man, come on. Tom Brady ain't going nowhere. Right. Tom Brady going to be he's going to be in New England.
Nah. It happened.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Rick Bucher. All right, let's move to the NBA, where the trade deadline is fast approaching. And multiple reports have surfaced that the Lakers are entertaining various trade offers for Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma started the season slow and appeared to call out LeBron on social media back in December. But he's been finding his groove of late, and the Lakers are in first place in the West. All right, the question here is, do the Lakers need additional help to win a title?
No, I like their team. Best record in the West for a reason. They have rim protection, offensive dynamic duo, defense. I really like their team. You can imagine what they'll look like in a 7-game series against my Clippers or other teams, but what they're doing right now looks special. And I'm glad you highlighted Kuzma because every single month, his points per game and shooting percentage has gone up because he came into the season hurt. And then you have this dynamic of Anthony Davis now with LeBron James. And in those moments, you can kind of step away and watch things happen instead of make things happen. And I think now, especially when AD was out for a little stretch there, Kuzma found his way and you're starting to see the results.
No.
No.
With the caveat that you're going to give me the same LeBron James and Anthony Davis that I'm seeing right now through June. That's the big question. Can they stay healthy? Can they continue to play at the same level? If they do, then yes, there's no reason for me to believe that the game slows down a little bit in the postseason. Yeah. They've got size and length. You've got somebody in LeBron who knows how to orchestrate all these veteran pieces. But I'm not convinced that they are going to be able to maintain this level because Anthony Davis has a history of not staying healthy. LeBron James last season wasn't able to stay healthy. And at his age, that's a huge question mark. So if they stay as is, yes. But no, they don't need help. Mm. I just don't believe that they're going to be able to sustain.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that we're all in agreement. I'm in agreement for a different reason. And I said this on the Monday following Kobe's death, and I say it again. Kobe's death, I think, taps into an energy that will work well for LeBron. When he has some extra motivation, some emotional reason to play the game, something that he knows could be historic for him. I think it takes him to another level, and I think leading this team to a title in the aftermath of Kobe's tragic death is, and again, I'm not trying to be callous or minimize, you know, the human tragedy of Kobe dying, but I do believe it works well for LeBron James in this season. I think they have an emotional edge and an energy and a chemistry that's going to be long-lasting. I'm over the, will AD get hurt? They're 49 games in. He survived this long.
He's been seven.
He's been hurt this year. It's not history, it's present.
I got you. Yeah. But I really think the emotional energy of Kobe and playing for Kobe is going to carry this team.
I believe it's going to work one way or the other. It's either going to work as a motivating factor, and the first game out did not encourage my belief that it was going to go that direction. Yeah. If there was ever a time to say, we are going to take a page from Kobe Bryant's book, that was the night. And you know what? Damian Lillard did.
He did.
Right? And to be honest,
one-off.
It affected, not by what Damian's been doing lately.
No, I'm talking about for the Lakers. But
right. So, but there comes an emotional burden of trying to live up to that too. And the reality is, and nobody wants to look at this, LeBron and Kobe weren't that close. That relationship was patched up
a little bit,
but it was convenient.
That's all true. But in passing, I do think LeBron has a legitimate connection to Kobe. I do think the energy inside the Staples Center is going to be very, very positive. And look, LeBron is prone towards dysfunction and passive aggressive. And I think the Kobe thing is a reminder to him, hey, man, we're playing for something bigger. Don't give in to that. This is a special team and a special time for all of us that wear Lakers uniforms. And particularly for LeBron, what this could do for his legacy, I think, is amazing. And I'm attaching no negative to that in terms of LeBron buying into that and playing into that spirit and building his legacy off of doing something remarkable in the aftermath of Kobe's death.
Look, I said this the day after Kobe passed that, and we're still talking about it, that positive energy doesn't land anywhere, man. It's not on the stat sheet. It's not a plus or minus positive energy. It doesn't make buckets. It reminds me of when you go to church and you watch someone in church and they catch the Holy Ghost. And then you walk out of church and they're cursing somebody out in the parking lot. You're like, God dang, weren't you just inspired and emotional? You know, things like that. So, look, I can sound heartless, but Kobe inspired everyone in terms of commitment, dedication, tenacity. The stars of this team already embody that to a maximum level, I feel. And then if you want to go to the rotation players, you want to go to a Dwight Howard or Caruso, whoever, those guys are hanging on by threads or in redemption projects to the point where they're maximized already. Yeah. I just don't know where that emotional energy can go on this team.
All right, we don't have a lot of time. I'm not going to read the script. I just want to go straight to the Knicks. Have moved on from Steve Mills. Mm-hmm. Mm. There are rumors that they may have an interest in Rich Paul. They may want to follow the same blueprint the Lakers have with Rob Pelinka, powerful agent running their team.
Ask
would
the question.
Would Rich Paul be a good choice for the Knicks?
Uh-oh.
No. And will he be? No. Mm. I would say hell no if it weren't for Jim Dolan, because anticipating what he is going to do is challenging. But the reality is that Rich Paul and what he has crafted, and I give him a lot of credit, among that crew, I feel as if he's done as much as anybody to stand on his own two feet and make a name for himself. I give him that credit. But he hasn't done all of the intricate heavy lifting that is involved. He is a good, I would say, evangelist when it comes to recruiting guys and signing them. But in terms of all the details that go into being a team president, I don't know how much experience he has.
You need to do more than recruit and sign to win games in the NBA?
Yes. As a team president, yes.
Ask Phil Jackson.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot that goes in.
He couldn't recruit and sign.
Well, look, I'm not going to be the seventh GM for the Knicks in the last 12, 13 years. I'm not going to be that guy. There are two worlds that could collide if Jim Dolan steps up. One is who Rich Paul is right now, which is a super agent that just did a mega merger with UTA and all of their superstars, who gets 3%, up to 3% of every contract of these superstar players and 20% in marketing, versus, oh, I could be the next Knicks GM, which to me lands nowhere in Rich Paul's universe. Mm. When you meet him, when you hang with him, when you know him, to extract him from the life he just created, from selling T-shirts out the trunk,
yeah,
to becoming LeBron's bestie, to becoming this super agent, this doesn't ride on that course. I think this would be something behind him, not in front of him.
Oh, I mean, look, he can deliver AD to the Knicks, perhaps. Who knows? Maybe he could deliver LeBron to the Knicks.
Can he do that as an agent, though? Obviously.
No. Well,
I mean,
if he's doing it on his own behalf as team president, he's a bit more motivated. I'm not going to dismiss this in the modern NBA and where we are with professional sports. Mm. Do I think he could do it? Hell yeah. And do I think, and again, you're right, he has signed up to be uber rich in the move that he just made.
Yeah.
But when you have any competitive bone in your body, I'd rather be running a professional sports franchise than being an agent. I really would.
No, I think you're taking competition the wrong way. There was this kid on my block, Omar, I couldn't beat running, right? Then I got pro, and he was like, let's go race. You know what? That's behind me, brother. Those races were, hey, the Knicks GM sound right. great until I'm this guy, Rich Paul now? No.
If he weren't on the cusp of what he has just created, I would say, you know what? I'll go take Dolan's money for a couple years. He's going to pay me more than anybody else. He's going to fire me in 2 years. So I'll take that bank, and it won't stop me from going on. But he's at a turning point, Rich is, that I don't know you step off of that, and then you can come back to it.
Yes, you can, because you leave your guy in place there. And if it doesn't work out, you just go back to your old job and your old deal. That's a LeBron James, you know, driven deal in the first
place. But how much of an agent is just cachet? Just, ooh, my imagination of him. He takes a hit if he goes to the Knicks and fails and comes back.
Eric Dickerson and LeVar Arrington are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, homeboy, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Whitlock's Chiefs. Mm. Celebrated their first Super Bowl in 50 years with a parade through the snow today.
And a car chase.
Yes, sir. Chiefs players and coaches just voted for their team MVP. And to a lot of people's surprise, safety Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, won the award over Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes. I want to ask you guys, do you think it's crazy Mahomes didn't win this award?
Crazy?
Keep it real, Whitlock.
I'm not going to say crazy. He missed two games.
Yeah.
The defense was very improved.
Yep.
And Chris Jones missed some games on the defensive side with injuries. And so who's left but Tyrann Mathieu? And I think his impact as a leader, obviously, was overwhelming.
Wow, you got there by subtraction. Said, oh, well, he was bad. He didn't do anything. I got there by addition. I've been saying it all year. What got the Chiefs over the hump was the defense, the emotional leader of the defense, Tyrann Mathieu. Two things that got lost in the Super Bowl were, one, they held the second highest scoring offense in the regular season to 20 points, San Francisco 49ers, after scoring 37 and 27 in previous playoff games. Secondly, look at the fact that when you talk about Tyrann Mathieu snapping on that sideline, do y'all remember in the Super Bowl?
Yes, he was.
And it was mischaracterized as, oh, he's losing his cool. No, that's the emotional leader beating that drum, saying it's time. You know how many points the 49ers scored after this moment? Donut. Not a damn point. So, yeah, that's your emotional leader who helped the defense that supported Patrick Mahomes and that lethal offense deserved this award.
Yeah, what y'all want me to say?
I'm with you.
You want me to be the dead? I can be the drum and be
Patrick
the dead
Mahomes
horse.
Is the most valuable Chief.
He's the best player. He's the best
Listen,
player.
In terms of talent and accomplishment and achievement, yes, impact. Patrick Mahomes. There are different ways of measuring impact. And the reason why Tyrann Mathieu
You're not
is,
at home right now. Don't give me the – anyway, I'm sorry.
Earn that check. Say something. Say something.
The reason why Tyrann Mathieu was probably named the team MVP was, I'm assuming, through a collective team vote and feeling of him. So more often than not, sometimes it's other bodies that
LeVar
decide that.
LeVar been the MVP so many times, he don't even understand this award no other way.
Yeah.
The best player gets it. Let me help you out. I saw NFL Honors this year, it happened again. Who was the most outstanding offensive player?
Oh,
wasn't the same guy who won MVP. That's how it goes. Sometimes right. outstanding, best, greatest, valuable. We kind of, you know, we start weighed playing around with the words. So that's what happened, I think, here. And it's a rotating trophy like anything. Kobe would have won it every year. Jordan would have won it every year. Sometimes they're like, who's the guy that can win it that probably won't win it as much as the best player, which is Patrick?
Thank you.
Who won it, the honors? I was there. I don't even know.
What'd you say?
Who won it? Who won
Mike
it?
Thomas.
Really?
Receiver.
I walked out of there. I'm like, gotta.
Why?
Because I was there. I remember. I don't remember. Oh. I left.
Open bar, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was getting out of there, brother.
He's playing too legit to quit.
He had to run up out of there.
I told you, don't say that now. I had to jump up and start dancing.
Oh, Lord.
You shocked that Matthew won it?
No, I'm not shocked. I mean, look, would you rather him win, Patrick Mahomes win the league MVP or the team MVP? I mean, the team is, that's the football team. In the locker room, it's different. Because we as guys, you know, we know that Patrick Mahomes is really probably the MVP. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But you got to look for something just other than the talent and, you know, what he did on the field. Sometimes it's off the field. It's how you motivate the guys. And you saw him motivate those guys. He's that, well, for one, it's his first year there. Made all pro. He had 4 interceptions, 75 tackles, 3rd and tackles. So he made a big difference for that defense. So for I think it's a great pick.
And every team I've been on in NFL, and I'm a generalize, but damn it, it's real. Them Southern dudes, man's men, like, they hold down the pulse of the team. And he's been through so much. He's only 27. It feels like he's been in the league for 15, 20 years.
Right.
Because of the distance travel from his LSU issues to him being tested and coming out on the right side of that. I think those players see that on the day-to-day. That coupled with his personality, I think he's just the guy that controlled the pulse.
Yeah, I think he epitomizes leadership. And for me, again, and I was uncomfortable, the swag that the Chiefs had, a lot of it starts with Tyrann Mathieu.
Of course.
So, all right, congratulations
back there.
Joined again by Rick Bucher and LeVar Arrington. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, Patrick Mahomes' MVP performance in Super Bowl 54 has sparked a new round of stories about the rise of the black quarterback. Jason Reed of ESPN's The Undefeated opined that Mahomes has ushered in the era of the black quarterback. Elena Bergeron of the New York Times wrote a piece wondering, is the black quarterback revolution going to last? Reed justifiably called Mahomes the gold standard at sport's most glamorous position. That is a significant title, a position black men have rarely held in American society. The gold standard at sport's most glamorous position. The last time we held that title, Jack Johnson or Joe Louis was the heavyweight champion of the world. Think about it. When Muhammad Ali ruled boxing, prize fighting had already been diminished by widespread corruption. Boxing took a back seat to baseball and football in the 1970s. Football is currently America's unquestioned pastime. No other American sport is in the same galaxy. The game's biggest stars are Mahomes and Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Reed accurately points out that Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are in the next batch of their in-their-prime elite quarterbacks ready to surpass aging superstars Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers as ratings-driving signal callers. I bring all this up because I'm tired of hearing the NFL castigated as some sort of bigoted league that is inferior to the NBA in terms of racial progress. Just like Patrick Mahomes, the NFL is the gold standard. Is it perfect? No, nothing is. But it is light years ahead of the rest of the entertainment industry, particularly the Hollywood crowd that constantly wags a finger at the NFL. Hell yes. Let me know when Hollywood makes a group of black men the gold standard, makes a group of black men the highest paid in the industry. I'll wait. The same goes for the American news media. Elena Bergeron's piece in the New York Times infuriated me. The writer knows virtually nothing about the NFL. In her second paragraph, she complained that Ben Roethlisberger played this season like he should be considering retirement. Big Ben injured his shoulder in week 2 and missed the rest of the season. The New York Times piece rehashed a bunch of racial tropes about the NFL. It's the typical NFL hit piece written under the byline of someone with no connection to the game and even less understanding of it. We should be celebrating the NFL. The league is at the height of its powers, and its biggest stars come from every walk of life. The Seahawks made a $35 million a year commitment to Russell Wilson. The Chiefs are going to commit $40-plus million to Patrick Mahomes. quarterback is the ultimate leadership position in sports. The rise of black quarterbacks is going to open leadership doors on football sidelines and in front offices. That's how progress works. It's the steady fall of dominoes powered by success, not the whining of the uninformed. The uninformed whine because they're incapable of producing the kind of success that creates opportunities for people who look like them. All right, Marcel, let's get us rolling. Mm. Is the rise of the black quarterback a reason to celebrate the NFL, not castigate the league?
Absolutely, yes. We got to celebrate it. I personally wouldn't be at this level of life, this moment, without it. All respect due to the NFL and all the opportunity it presented to me. But this conversation about the black quarterback is not one for me personally. I never lived my life in imagination and building and dreaming, needing tangible people, circumstances, or situations to give my imagination fire. If it is to be, it's up to me. It's something I used to repeat to myself 8 years old. I didn't choose to go to Columbia and walk away from Yellow Brick Road to the NFL and big football factories because I saw another brother from Compton going to Columbia. I just said, you know what? Y'all doing that? I want to do this. I'm making my own calculations. I would do it. But I respect those who need images, that need those examples for them to feel that inspiration. So I'm going to talk to them. It's going to be an amazing place when we don't talk about the black quarterback anymore because it's going to be like the black running back. We don't talk about the damn black running back. We don't talk about the black punt returner, black cornerback. So this is something that we should chart in terms of growth and give respect where respect is due. The first black quarterback that was ever even a co-MVP, Steve McNair, 2003. But damn, I haven't heard enough love for Cam Newton, the first one to win it outright, 2015. And since then, of the next five, including Cam, three of them brothers at the quarterback position. So respect to how the game is growing, how the minds have opened up, so the position has opened up. So now those who were hiding behind implicit bias, some explicit bias, some even racism, are now held to the fire of saying, I need the best player at that position. Last, I will say, we were in Liberty City last week. And I've been telling you for the year or so I've been on this show, I go to Pop Warner High School games and I see it all the time where they just position shift you. I was a running back who they said, man, you 280 one day. Bro, you need to play DN and make that leap. I saw a kid out there make an interception, 6'2", 210. He wasn't the only one 6'2", 210. But when he caught the pick, he did four flips without touching the ground with his hands. Before, that guy is going to be a receiver. Seven catches, 100 yards. Mm. Going forward, coach going to come here. Can you throw? Because I need all of that athlete at this position. Oh, it's coming, and it's going to be an ugly day for those who playing against it, but a beautiful day for this league.
Mm. No, we shouldn't celebrate it because it should be the norm. I have an issue with the idea of the black quarterback era. And I'm not even sure that that's the appropriate term for it. I think we're in the mobile quarterback era. Mm. The last I checked, Josh Allen was having success. Exactly. Last I checked, Doug Flutie wished he played in the NFL now. Mm. And I don't think he's black. I think he's mobile. I think he sees the way the game is being played and the fact that you can't hit a quarterback the same way when he runs that has opened up and changed the dynamic and what you look for as the skill set. And I just... The idea that you put a label on it and you call it an era means that it has a beginning and it also has an end. It suggests that this is a fad.
I disagree. I don't disagree with your perspective and point of view. I would just say I'm not sure if you can see it from my eyes. As a kid, James Harris was named the starting quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams.
Shaq.
It sparked something in me. A love of football, and it set my life on a course that got me here. And so I think your perspective is right, and I get why you have it, but I'm not sure if you can really see it from my perspective of what James Harris being the starting quarterback. I lived in Indianapolis. They named a black quarterback the starting quarterback of the LA Rams. And it changed my life.
Yeah, well, and we've heard the same with Lamar Jackson and the way that he has been heralded now and what that has done for a lot of kids, a lot of black kids coming up now. So I appreciate that. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I just feel as if when we make it something amazing, mm-hmm. rather than it should be the norm, mm-hmm. that it's really to look at it as extraordinary rather than trying to attempt to make
I
it ordinary.
I just see it as another domino. And again, this is the premier leadership position in sports. And to see guys like this in that spot, I just think it has a bit more impact. And it may be sad that that's the way it is. Hmm. To inspire me as a kid, it took someone on an athletic field. That may be sad, but that is reality.
Hmm. Well, I love this topic, and I'm glad I get to weigh in on it because I can shed light on it from a different angle and a different perspective. I think they should be celebrated, and they should be celebrated because they have now ushered in an era where the skill and development component of this has now closed. All right, so while we're looking at it as, all right, you may label it as mobile, we may label it as a couple other things, there have always been black quarterbacks. I mean, I could run off Byron Leftwich, Culpepper, yeah. McNabb, McNair, Aaron Brooks, Quincy Carter. There has always been black quarterbacks that have been a part of the league. What we're seeing now with this group of quarterbacks in the NFL right now are more skilled, more developed quarterbacks. I want to take a moment and give a shout out to the guys like Steve Clarkson, mm-hmm. Akili Smith, Ramon Robinson, Madee Williams, Chris Ricks, Eric, what's my guy, the quarterback whisperer?
George Whitfield.
San Diego.
What has taken place is we're looking at a position. Every other position, all right, every other position on the field can be something that you do, and you can do quarterback for fun, but you don't know what you don't know. When you have guys like Peyton Manning, you have guys like Drew Brees or Andrew Luck, these kids are being developed at age 3. They're starting stance, foundational components of what it means and what it is to be a quarterback before they even know their ABCs and their 1-2-3s, all right? That takes resources. So when I mention those names of those people who are coaching and are training, we have now seen a generation of kids that have taken the resources that these coaches have provided in their time to put them on grease boards, not just go out and just throw the ball. Oh, you can run. All right, hand the ball off. All right, if something happens, if it breaks down, use your athletic ability. Hate to say it, that's more Mike Vick. That's more some of the things we've seen with some of the guys in the past. You've seen a little bit of development, but you did not see a true development of skill as time would create it. And now we're starting to see a group of kids that have actually, and maybe 7-on-7 is responsible for it. I'm not 100% sure why it happened, but it has now happened. And this, you are now seeing educated, skilled. Do not diminish or minimize what these young men are doing because it is not athletic, it is developed. Mm.
Yeah, but I'm with Rick, and I'm gonna tell you this. The whole black quarterback era disturbs me because I see it too many times in our culture, this deep cultural insecurity. It's a minor league mentality. And I tell you, it happens to me all the time. My greatest pride is being a father. Father of 3, almost 4, come in March. And a lot of times I get recognized on social media, respected, and I put up a post, great black dad. You get no retweets, you get no likes, you get no comments, because I'm just a great dad, brother. So I'm a parallel this to this situation when you don't have something for so long, you usually throw too big a damn party when you get it. Mm. When you're starving for something, it takes less to get you full. So as a culture, we need to stop like, oh man, they gave us that. Because guess what? We should have it all if we are ready for those situations. As Rick said, the norm should be more celebrated than the exclusive.
You still have to address and look at the development process.
I agree.
You know how many 4-star and 5-stars disappear when they go to college? You know why they disappear?
All positions.
Because they are not developed. Their athleticism was able to take them to where they are. That's called sports.
Oh, yeah, we got to go. The only thing I would add to your point, Marcellus, which I think is fair, is trust. These guys weren't given anything. We took this. Those guys took this. Mm-hmm. Their work, their play elevated them to this level. Eric Dickerson and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to the Rams, who are looking for answers after a disappointing season where they missed the playoffs and saw a major drop-off from Todd Gurley. Mm. Now ESPN's Rams insider Lindsay Theory predicts that the team will look to trade Gurley, who is signed through 2023 and earning $45 million in guaranteed under his current contract extension. Good luck trading Gurley.
That's the thing.
Would it be a mistake for the Rams to trade Eric Dickerson's little brother?
Should I just first?
Yeah, right? Right? No one at home is waiting for me to speak first. Like, come on.
Man, most definitely is a mistake. I'm going to say this. You know, let's go back to when Todd first got to L.A. and they had that first bad year here. And people said, man, he don't look the same. He ain't running the same. You know, and I kept saying, the offensive line is beat up. Mm. No, they can't block. He's getting hit in the backfield. Same thing this year. The offensive line was beat up, not healthy. A lot of bad play calling. See, I'm going to tell you, and I've said this over and over, running the football is an art. You just don't line up and say, we're going to run off tackle, we're going to run up the middle, we're going to run to the right. We don't run the football well. I'm just plain and simple. Our head coach, Sean McVay, does not run the football. I asked Todd, I said, man, are you okay? He said, Eric, I'm good. I said, during the game, we're going to run the ball, before the game, we're going to run the ball today, supposed to. After the game, man, we threw it. I mean, you got to get into a rhythm running the ball. And for Todd, I mean, I was frustrated for him just to watch it go down because, look, you know this, TJ, you know this too.
I hope.
Man, when playing football, you're not always 100% healthy. You never are. I mean, I ran for 2,000 yards on an arthritic toe. So I know how bad it is.
D. Mentioned that yesterday, and they laughed at me. Yeah.
Yeah. We did. We show respect now.
I'm honored, though.
People laugh about that toe. If you had a bad toe, you
all had it. Put the steel plate in. You all right with a little shot. Don't act like you did that much.
Steel plate don't work. Come on, I'm a runner, but you got to run cut.
Can I get in it on this? No. Because y'all just had a little buddy moment. You talking about Todd Gurley. Let me tell the truth. One.
No, not the truth.
Todd Gurley is one of the best people in the NFL. That's my dog. But I got to do my job, too. I played running back before. And it wasn't enough to go to the NFL. But my senior year, D1 football, I was a running back. And then I played DN so I could make it to the league. My point is, even if they calling bad plays, even if the O-line ain't good, you could break one here or there to show everybody, hey, dog, if you give me everything else, I'm going to break a lot of these. And Todd Gurley's not doing that. He lost that sixth gear, man. One of them spark plugs are gone. Here are the numbers to support what my eyes are seeing. Todd Gurley has not rushed for 100-plus yards in 17 straight games, which includes, obviously, all of last year. But let's go back from Todd Gurley's Rookie of the Year campaign. He went 25 of 26 games without going over 100 yards rushing. That ain't no coincidence, bruh. Something is not right with Todd Gurley, whether it's a trick.
You said rookie year? You said
rookie in second year.
Okay.
He had four of the first five games over 100. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Then all of a sudden, you started to watch. How do you go 26 games and 25 of them you can't go over 100? Has that ever happened to you in your career, even with injury?
I can't recall, but I would say I mean, I can't say it because
I watched them all.
Plead the fifth, Your Honor.
I'll say this much here.
Look, plead the fifth,
first
Your Honor.
Of all, you go back to, you're talking about his rookie, the Jeff Fisher era, no offense.
He won Rookie of the Year. Don't act like he wasn't involved.
But still, Jeff, I mean, he didn't start out playing. Remember, nope. he missed like four games.
Yep.
So
look, red shirt.
Mm-mm. Trading him is not going to be a mistake. But if I'm I don't know if it's bad for a team not to trade for him. The Rams have already given him $27 million in guaranteed money.
He done that.
So, in essence, he has $30 million left for the next 4 years. That's an average of $7.5 million a year. Going right for – that's a great deal for a team to say, oh, I can get Todd Gurley for $7.5 million a year moving forward. The Rams have already paid $27 million. I want to trade for him if I'm a team. If it doesn't work out, I'm on the hook for $7.5 million a year. That's not a bad deal. Gurley with the Rams, McVay wants to throw the ball. That's fine. Go to another team and see, oh, I can still play, or Oh, I don't. I lost a spark plug.
It's not the same. We see Jimmy G and they want to run the ball. They don't trust Jimmy G. How come when we see him saying, "I'm gonna throw the ball," I don't trust Todd Gurley?
We're gonna
Gurley.
Make the narrative to what we want it to be. We're gonna control that.
Come on, y'all.
We throw the ball. And so. When I look at our offense basically is a throwing offense. And we threw the ball at sometimes 60 times a game.
When he was almost winning the MVP a year ago,
you know, that's when we run the football. Play action. We have no play action. People don't they don't believe.
Because you don't have a running back.
Because we don't run the football.
Why can't CJ Anderson come up here from a bowling alley and do better than Todd Gurley did in the playoffs?
You know what? Sometimes you play good. I mean, both were playing well. They were splitting time. Both were playing well. Man,
love Todd.
I would like to see Todd. If you're going to go somewhere, you know, get out of here. Go to a team, Baltimore, someone that's going to run the football.
Man, stop. I'm just on that field.
Hey, why not?
Because Mark Ingram, when healthy, it shows
when
more.
When healthy?
Well, he only missed the last game, and then he was hobbled in the playoffs. The point is, Mark Ingram is their bell cow.
For now. Okay. I feel
I like TJ's point of contract value.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I like that, too.
But right now, what are we going to do? Who are we going to do?
You got free agent running backs on a minimum of 10 a year, and you can trade for Todd Gurley at 7.5. The Rams not going to get much back. They just want to get off the contract.
That is a good deal.
But in the draft, you can always find you a fourth round.
Eric, the longest you ever went without 100 yards was 12 games.
It was a rough one. It probably felt like
12. You forgot it.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Tom Brady. But first, make my Wednesday happy by giving my
I got you on the ISO cam.
You already know what's coming. Man, big dummy go to the person that said bacon is better than dopamine. Dopamine is better than bacon.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true heavyweight.
Give me that dopamine.
Let's
you
talk
need to stop
Tom
that.
Brady.
Give me that dopamine.
Whose future is still very much up in the air. Earlier, we talked about the rumors.
Powerful drug. He could
head to the 49ers. And there are reports out that the Patriots would be willing to pay him $30 million to stick around. Marcellus, is there any chance Brady doesn't re-sign with New England?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the 90 percentile that he's not going to be a Patriot next year. And you don't want to take my word for it? I'm the same guy that told you guys where Jim Harbaugh was going, where everybody else was chasing the sports world to figure that out. So I got some intel on this. But I just think it makes sense for him. Take the challenge. Get away from Belichick in terms of your legacy. Prove that you can do this independent of Belichick. Let's see how it goes.
Uncle Jimmy, you seem prepared to defend Tom Brady. Is that free Tom Brady T-shirt
Renshaw,
or hoodie?
Renshaw shirt.
What's your thoughts on Tom Brady?
I mean, in case you haven't noticed, I've been a big defender of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Brady has been with the New England Patriots for 20 years. He's what we call NFL royalty. And he will always be royalty to the fans of New England. But now his wife Gazelle Bunches is tearing him away from the NFL royal family.
You're blaming Giselle.
Yeah, she's like Meghan Markle. Pulling Prince Harry away from the royal family.
Yeah,
in that royal behavior.
That's sister.
You know, she's pulling Tom away from the Patriot way, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's my opinion. He's turning.
See, man, Tom Brady been out here for 20 years doing the right thing. Acting prim, proper, and prissy and polite. You know, it's been rumored that around New England, folks have referred to him as Lord Thomas Brady. You know, but now that's all over. He done threw it away.
Oh, man.
He out here like a little Thotalina on Instagram. You know, now he more interested in being a brand influencer than being a team influencer.
Yeah.
You know, and this type of thinking, that might be what's going to end up getting him ran out of New England.
Say it again.
See, he'll get ran out, then he can continue to build his social media brand.
Wow.
Sound like you agree with me.
You know, well, now look at it. Hold on now. See, all of this mess started with that supermodel Instagram wife of his, Gazelle. She the one that gave him that first bump. You know, that first hit of social media. That's the one that gets you. It ain't the third and fourth. See, this is the reason that I have successfully participated in 5 divorces. See, this is what they do to you.
Who's that?
They're agents of chaos.
Yeah, who is
that? Who's that?
Who are they?
Them wives.
Oh.
Look, look, you don't believe me. You see what Kim Kardashian did to Kanye?
Give me more. Give me more.
Wait, wait, hold on. Kanye went from George Bush hate black people to Donald Trump ain't done nothing to black people.
Give me more.
Huh? Hey, now. Look here, man. Gazelle done went and got him on that stuff. And to be honest with you, let me tell you something. When it really went down here,
what?
Is when AB came and stayed in the basement. Hey, Brady went and played dominoes with the devil and ain't been the same since.
Yes.
There's some truth there. There's some truth there. Let me get to my approval
right
for Jimmy.
Right.
For the first time in a long time, Tom Brady is no longer a GOAT. I don't like the social media addiction. I've dropped him 5 points
it,
in job performance.
Can't help it, huh? It ain't his
couple
fault.
Couple points in character and authenticity. 78 All-Star. Fault.
Man, yeah. I'm right there with
Come
you.
On, same. Man.
You got me thinking. Things
Think
to
about
make
it.
You go, hmm. He bit that apple, huh? Like Kaepernick and Nessa, huh? You bite that apple. Things change, man. Also, these dudes be different.
Like Darkless and speak for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute.
All right, the internet doesn't agree with us. They still have him
tripping out
as
here.
A GOAT. Some have him as a dumpster.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.